This is America Weekend. I'm Mike Bennett. Singer-songwriter Mary Chapin Carpenter stops by in just a moment. But first, do you yawn much? The TSA has a checklist of behaviors that determine if you're sketchy. TSA members have a 92-point checklist that helps them decide who to pat down in security. Items on the list that can make you seem sketchy include whistling or complaining in line. Other suspicious signs include exaggerated yawning, gazing down, a pale face due to a recent beard shaving, widely open staring eyes, wearing of improper attire, and arriving late for a flight. Those deemed suspicious under observation and behavioral analysis are pulled aside and searched for unusual items such as almanacs and prepaid calling cards. During the inspection, TSA agents are also instructed to look for signs of deception, which can include a fast rate of eye blinking. The TSA assigns a value to each item on the list and gives someone a series of points. TSA agents refer customers who score 4 or 5 points to a screening area. Passengers that score at least 6 points are reported to police. The formula also allows for some subtraction. Traveling as a member of a family will deduct 2 points from a passenger score. So will the appearance of traveling as a married couple where both spouses are 55 or older. This program for screening passengers has been around since 2007 and has cost $1 million to maintain. Some complain that the program encourages racial profiling. After the Germanwings plane crash, airlines are changing their procedures in Europe to make sure that there are 2 crew members in the cockpit at all times. The new move will be mandatory. If a pilot needs to use the restroom, another crew member will need to come in and sit in the cockpit until the pilot returns. This rule was adopted in the United States after September 11. A member of the National Guard was arrested at the airport in Chicago for attempting to head to the Middle East to join ISIS. The 22-year-old man and his 29-year-old cousin were caught at the airport trying to fly to Cairo, Egypt. The FBI became aware of the two men in late 2014 and found out they planned to fly to Egypt to wage war for ISIS. One person was killed after a shootout at the NSA headquarters in Fort Meade, Maryland. One of the men in the car was killed when armed security guards at the gate opened fire. The other was severely injured. An NSA police officer was injured, and the FBI is investigating the shooting. Federal agents in Baltimore said the shooting scene is contained, and we do not believe it's related to terrorism. The incident appears to be a local criminal matter. A new social app triggers 12 police investigations. The new Burn Book is causing serious issues. The app allows users to anonymously post gossip about their college or high school, and it's caused at least 12 police investigations, including reactions to gun and bomb threats. Bullying from the app has even caused 1 suicide attempt. A lot of people are questioning the need for an app like this in the first place. Mathematicians have created a series of formulas to help people find their true love. One math professor even wrote a book on the topic called The Mathematics of Love. Some of the tips include don't bother trying to hide the less attractive parts of your appearance in your online dating profile pictures and look for people who have fewer colds as a child. They also say don't settle down until you're at least 22 and choose friends who are slightly less attractive than you when you go out looking for love. Singer-songwriter Mary Chapin Carpenter is always playing somewhere in the USA, and her tour includes a stop at the site of Woodstock, Bethel Woods. Hey, Mary, you're a busy lady.
Well, that's good, I guess. I've always liked to do a lot of different things, and why not? You know, I mean, I love the idea of being able to mix it up as much as possible. And, you know, every time you play your music in a different incarnation, you have the opportunity to change things up. And it's not so much that you change the songs as much as you sort of try to investigate what else there might be if they're more stripped down or if they're more elaborate in the terms of the beautiful orchestral arrangement. So it really kind of just gives you a chance to do a lot of different things, and I think that's something to celebrate.
Now, will it be special when you play the original Woodstock site at Bethel Woods?
Well, of course it will be. I mean, that's history right there. And I'm sure I'm not the first person to say that. So it's going to be great.
Where were you in 1969?
I wasn't born yet.
Oh, all right.
I'm just kidding. No, I'm just kidding. I didn't know if I could get that past you.
Well, I kind of raised my eyebrows, but I'm willing to go with you.
Well, I wasn't that old. I was 10, so, you know.
There were a few 10-year-olds running around at Woodstock, but not you, huh?
Yeah, no, it wasn't me. I wasn't there.
You know, the other day we played Passionate Kisses.
Shouldn't I have this? Shouldn't I have this? Shouldn't I have all of this? Passionate kisses. Passionate kisses. Whoa, whoa. Passionate kisses from me.
It's amazing. It sounds like it was recorded yesterday. It really holds up well.
Well, I'm glad to hear it. I mean, it wasn't in the dark ages, so I'd like to think that it has some longevity. It's, of course, the great song written by the incomparable Lucinda Williams. So I have a feeling that her work is going to last a very long time.
And that's got to be one that you do in your concert, right?
Oh, I definitely throw it in there. Not every show, but many shows. I've got a catalog that's now, I suppose, it's not a bad thing. I have a lot of songs to choose from because I've been doing this long enough that can't fit everything in every night, but you have a lot to choose from.
So tell us about the Bethel Woods performance.
Well, it's with my acoustic trio. It's a stripped-down version of what I do, but like I said, I like to take songs and excavate and see what's there underneath. There's going to be a few new songs. I'm going into the studio this year to record a new record, so I like to be able to try things out a little bit. And we're also going to be playing with the incomparable, seminal Irish band Lunasa. And I toured with them many, many years ago, so this feels like a lovely reunion of sorts. They're extraordinary, so that's very exciting.
Well, that is very exciting. Now, I'm going to bring up another song I think is the best song about opening acts, and that's your song, Opening Act.
This is my career, and I'm paying my dues. And if I ever get rich and famous, I guess I'll be a jackass too. Till then, you don't know me. I'm the opening act.
Oh, my God. You're reaching way back, aren't you?
But that's such a great song. I remember you did it, what was it, on the Grammys or some awards show, and you brought down.
It was the Country Music Association show, the CMAs, as they call it. It was a novelty song that I wrote, and the version that was on television was the cleaned-up version. It was far more, what's the word I'm looking for? Disrespectful? In its original version, but that wouldn't fly on television. And so I sang it to a track, which was just so hokey, but that's what they wanted. And anyway, it was just sort of a compilation of experiences that I had as a support act. And so I made it up one day as a joke, and the producers of the show heard it, and they asked me to sing it, and I was horrified. And but I was persuaded, and again, we cleaned it up, and there you have it.
Tell us about Songs from a Movie.
Yes, well, that's a record that I put out last year with songs that were, in my opinion, just completely transformed by the beautiful work, arranging and composing of Vince Mendoza. He has worked with some amazing people over the years, among them Sting and Bjork and Joni Mitchell, for example. And he is known for his beautiful readings and arrangements of songs of those artists that I mentioned and many world-class jazz ensembles. And I had a chance to hear his work years ago, and I always just had this dream that if I could ever have the opportunity to take some of my songs and ask him to reinvent them, if you will, for orchestra, that I would take that chance in a heartbeat. And finally, I had that opportunity. And so these are songs that are all collected from many different eras and albums. And we toured across the world last year presenting the music. And it's something that I can do for the rest of my life, actually, as long as someone invites us. It's one of those ultimate bucket list projects, and I'm very proud of it.
All right. Very proud, I'm sure, of your 5 Grammys. Where do they reside in your house or wherever?
Well, I guess they're just kind of amongst some books, and there's no room where they, hold forth.
A lighted display, no?
No, no lighted display. I think that's a bit, I don't think that makes decorating sense.
Now, see, if I had five Grammys, one would be like my keychain. One would be hanging from my rearview mirror. You know, I'd be so blatant about it, but I appreciate that you're more subdued.
Well, you know, it's not that I'm not, you know, incredibly proud of them, but again, I think they're kind of signposts along the way, and they're not your entire life. And I mean, I'm being quite serious now. They mean something in their moment, but you can't live your entire life focused on something like that. And it's important to keep going, you know?
Absolutely. Well, Mary Chapin Carpenter, we look forward to your appearance at Bethel Woods next month.
I can't wait to get there. Thank you so much for chatting with me.
With singer-songwriter Mary Chapin Carpenter, I'm Mike Bennett. And you're listening to America Weekend on the Envision Radio Network.
America Weekend.
Big success in a minute with George and Mary Lynn.
We live in a fast-paced world. We're expected to do more with less. You have to be efficient. Is there ever a time when efficiency should not be the goal?
Yes, when you're dealing with people. Then it's more important to think about effectiveness. Communication can never be efficient if it's not effective. Important conversations deserve your complete attention.
Make sure you and the other person or parties completely understand what has been said. Repeat back the major points to each other.
Otherwise, you'll find yourself having the conversation all over again. But then, it'll be more complex because of misunderstandings.
Focus on being effective for greater efficiency. It leads to big success.
Find big success at BIGGSuccess.com.
Do you have troubled skin or acne? With Proactive Plus, your acne can heal and you can help prevent new breakouts from happening. Call Proactive Plus now and receive a 60-day risk-free trial along with two free extras and free shipping. Call 800-393-6139. That's 1-800-393-6139.
Think green.
Harrison with you. French wineries are now warning wine connoisseurs to buy up bottles of Red Bordeaux, Moselle Riesling, Rioja, Chianti, and Barossa Shiraz while they still can. Discovery Science reports that global warming's already been harsh on the delicate wine grape, which grows in a narrow regional band around the world. With temperature rise and extreme weather patterns now visiting vineyards, the classic French wine growing tradition is drying up. There are four ingredients that come together to produce great wine: weather, soil, region, and the variety of grape, which gives each wine a flavor peculiar to where the grapes were actually grown. Therefore, Merlot grown in Bordeaux won't taste like a Merlot grown in California. But some vines are now being transferred to England because of its warmer weather. But if France gets warmer, it'll be reduced to a raisin industry. From the Greeniverse.
Think Green with Harrison at ThinkGreenRadio.com.